This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Monday, June 15th, 2009. I'm Caleb Brown. With a split now emerging among federal circuits, the Second Amendment may be headed back to the U.S. Supreme Court. Robert A. Levy, chairman of the Cato Institute and co-counsel in the case that overturned the D.C. gun ban, discusses the cases.
The reason that we sued in Washington, D.C. was because Washington, D.C. is not a state. It's a federal enclave. And so we were able to avoid the complicated issue of incorporation, that is, the applicability of the Second Amendment to the states. That left that issue to be litigated, and indeed it is being litigated. And three U.S. courts of appeal have now weighed in with their views as to whether or not the Second Amendment is incorporated. The Second Circuit, that's in New York, in a case involving nunchucks in the home for self-defense, has decided that the Second Amendment is not incorporated. The Seventh Circuit, in a consolidation of three cases, one of which is called McDonald, another of which is filed by the NRA, also decided that the Second Amendment is not incorporated. The Ninth Circuit, however, in California, in a case called Nordyke, has decided the other way and claims that the Second Amendment is incorporated. And that tees the issue up for the Supreme Court to step in and grant certiorari and resolve this split between the circuits. And in fact, petitions for certiorari have been filed in these cases.
Can you go into any detail about the Second Circuit case?
The Second and Seventh Circuits are very similar. And in fact, the Seventh Circuit case cited the Second Circuit case. And the logic of both of those circuits is as follows. Back in 1875, in a case called Cruikshank, and then 11 years later, 1886, in a case called Presser versus Illinois, the Supreme Court did say that the Second Amendment didn't apply to the states. Of course, Cruikshank also said that the First Amendment didn't apply to the states, and that's a notion which is obviously antiquated. The reason it's antiquated is because both of those cases, Cruikshank and Presser, came before the incorporation doctrine took form. It didn't take form until 1897 in the Chicago and Burlington Railroad case. And so, not having incorporation in 1886 and 1875, the Supreme Court did indeed rule that the Second Amendment didn't apply to the states. Now the Second Circuit and the Seventh Circuit in New York and Chicago, looking at this series of cases, decided that the Supreme Court's prior pronouncements in Presser and in Cruikshank had not been overruled, and it would not be appropriate for a U.S. Court of Appeals to overrule the Supreme Court. And so the Second and Seventh Circuits both said, it may be that Cruikshank and Presser are no longer good law, but it is not up to us to say so. It is up to the United States Supreme Court to say so, and if they say so, we will follow accordingly. Neither the Second Circuit nor the Seventh Circuit ruled that the Second Amendment is not a fundamental right and that it shouldn't be incorporated. Rather, they ruled they were bound by prior Supreme Court precedent.
How does Sonia Sotomayor figure into this?
Sonia Sotomayor was on the panel that addressed the Second Amendment incorporation in the nunchucks case in New York. And so she agreed with the panel in ruling that the Second Amendment should not be incorporated. I don't think it's fair to suggest from that ruling that Sonia Sotomayor has views one way or another regarding the Second Amendment. It does suggest that she has the view that the Supreme Court precedent in Cruikshank and Presser, still pending reversal by the Supreme Court, has to be abided by on the circuits. This is not something that I would suggest is an indication that Sonia Sotomayor, is antithetical to Second Amendment rights. She may be, but I don't believe that this is a proof of that proposition.
Should this be an easy call for the U.S. Supreme Court?
I think so. By the way, let me digress and point out that the Ninth Circuit's logic, saying that there was incorporation, was somewhat different. The Ninth Circuit said, yes, it's true that we have these prior precedents, Cruikshank and Presser, but the prior precedents simply stated that the entire Bill of Rights didn't apply to the state, nor was the entire Bill of Rights incorporated by the 14th Amendment. The Ninth Circuit went on to say the Supreme Court never addressed whether the Second Amendment selectively was incorporated. And since the Supreme Court never addressed that particular issue, selective incorporation, Second Amendment only, we on the Ninth Circuit feel free to address that, and we determine that the Second Amendment is incorporated. Now, that leads me into whether or not the Supreme Court will agree. The Ninth Circuit is the only circuit to have reached the merits of the case. That is the Second Amendment right a fundamental right? Fundamental rights tend to be incorporated. Non-fundamental rights tend not to be incorporated. In the Bill of Rights, almost all of the rights have been incorporated. The only ones that haven't have been the excessive fines provision of the Eighth Amendment, the grand jury provision in the Sixth, the right to a jury trial in civil cases in the Seventh Amendment. All of the other provisions of the Bill of Rights, speech, religion, press, protection against unreasonable searches, on, have been incorporated because they have been deemed to be fundamental rights. Fundamental rights are those rights either implicit in the concept of ordered liberty or deeply rooted in our nation's traditions and culture. I don't think that very many people believe that the Second Amendment is not fundamental. Quite clearly, the right to defend yourself and the right to provide food for your family by using firearms and hunt, those are deeply rooted in our nation's tradition and culture, and the right to self-defense clearly is implicit in the concept of ordered liberty. It seems to me a very high likelihood that the Supreme Court will find the Second Amendment to be fundamental and therefore will incorporate it, and the circuits will then fall in line.
Robert A. Levy is chairman of the Cato Institute and was co-counsel in the famed Heller case that overturned the D.C. gun ban. Levy is also co-author of The Dirty Dozen. You can get your copy at cato.org.